WBZ H 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin public school students are getting better standardized test scores than last year. The tests show 60% of Wisconsin students are still not reading or writing at grade level. That's better than last year, but still lower than before the pandemic. Department of Public Instruction spokesperson Abigail Sweats.
Yes, our schools are still struggling. And we definitely want to keep moving in a direction that gets them the resources they need, the support they need, and the respect they need.
39% of kids in Wisconsin are proficient in English and about 38% in math. The University of Wisconsin system will now be known as the Universities of Wisconsin. President Jay Rothman made the announcement yesterday. He says the new name and identity emphasize all of 13 of Wisconsin's public universities. Rothman says the new name helps shift the focus away from the system and onto the individual schools. The organizers of next year's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee are calling for unity. Nate Wegehout has more.
Ryan Priebus said that Wisconsin's split government is one of the reasons Milwaukee was chosen to host the convention. He said that he is working with local businesses to highlight what the city has to offer.
Where we have over 1,200 small businesses that are part of a portal inside the Milwaukee Host Committee so that when contracts get put out for bid, they're the first ones in line.
Priebus spoke at the Rotary Club of Milwaukee on Tuesday. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
People in Wisconsin are working for what they consider more fair political maps. They gathered this week to talk about their plan for a new independent panel to draw future boundaries. Usuli Flores is with the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. She warns against the Iowa-style proposal put forth by Republicans.
And it just seems like a huge power grab that could permanently change the process for how we draw our state maps, and it just feels like it's going to be detrimental to our communities.
Governor Evers promises to veto the bill if it passes. Wisconsin's maps are widely considered to be the most gerrymandered in the United States. Today is Coming Out Day, honoring America's LGBTQ plus community. Advocate Michael Tim says the day was first observed in the United States in 1988.
Coming out is a very personal thing, and that story belongs to the individual. And Coming Out Day for me is a reminder that people are welcome to come out when and if they choose to.
States across the country have seen an increase in anti-LGBTQ legislation. In Wisconsin, there are bills to regulate participation in sports and to ban gender-affirming care for people younger than 18. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Chippewa County Board yesterday voted 20-0 to continue the investigation into allegations made against Sheriff Travis Hakes after receiving additional information provided by the sheriff at the hearing. The accusations against Sheriff Hakes include sending inappropriate text messages to a female dispatcher, conducting sales business during work hours, not completing training, not attending meetings, and having a lack of judgment. Sheriff Hakes vowed to fight against the allegations. During his 10-minute statement, the sheriff argued that the text messages that were sent are being taken out of context, and he was simply trying to make a new employee in the office feel welcome. He also released a counter-investigation arguing the claims made by the Chippewa County Board, including exhibits showing his purchase of coffee mugs for the office. Sheriff Hakes also denied that he conducted any outside business during work hours. The county board adjourned the matter to the next regular meeting in November. Members of the county board also called for a third-party investigation. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers may have to find a new manager. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last week may have been Craig Counsell's last as the Brewers manager. Since then, his name has been brought up as a candidate for open jobs with the New York Mets, the San Francisco Giants, the Angels in L.A., or even the Cleveland Guardians. Craig Counsell is 53 and said to be listening to all offers. After the Brewers won the division but lost in the first round of the playoffs, GM Matt Arnold held a press conference and was asked when does the team need to have an answer from Counsell on what he intends to do.
Yeah, we're certainly, I appreciate the question. We're not going to put any timetable on Craig. He is, we're in regular conversation with him. You know, I'm excited about having those conversations with him and looking forward to hopefully having some news for you guys soon if possible. But either way, we're going to be prepared to have a manager next year if it's not Craig. But I want to keep every line open for communication here with Craig as much as we can, because he's our top choice here for sure.
NBA, the Bucks had the lead, but lost in Memphis to the Grizzlies 108-102 in preseason basketball. Brooke Lopez and Pat Connaughton led in scoring. Giannis, newcomer Damian Lillard, and Chris Middleton did not play. Middleton asked how he's doing after having surgery on his right knee after the playoffs last May.
I think I'm very close. I mean, everything that they mapped out after my procedure and being able to get in the weight room in the court, I've been right on pace. It's been slow, but that's kind of the way they planned it out. But I think everything's been going great so far. No setbacks. I've been feeling really good, so I'm excited about, the next couple of days to a week to really start to get after it, and hopefully everything goes well.
Football, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to take on a Big Ten opponent, the Iowa Hawkeyes. Kickoff is this Saturday at 3 p.m. at Camp Randall in Madison. NFL, the Packers making some roster moves. Linebacker Justin Hollins is back on the 53. Running back Patrick Taylor was released. Matt LaFleur says that on defense, Quay Walker and Darnell Savage should be back in the next couple of weeks after leaving Monday night's game with injuries. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Stu Daniels Show on this Wednesday morning. It is the 11th day of October. How you doing? Hope you're having a good day so far. Come on in, get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and let's check out some news and some sports and some weather together. 8 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. And outside today, we got the return of the sunshine. Gonna still be kind of cool, but just about everybody is going to see a lot more sun today than we saw yesterday. Lacrosse today, sunshine with a high around 61 degrees. Eau Claire, partly sunny, high around 58. In Richland Center, sunshine, high around 63 degrees. Amory, partly sunny, high around 55. And Hayward, mostly cloudy, high around 52 degrees today. Well, in sports, have you been following Major League Baseball and the postseason so far? If you have, then you know the Orioles got swept. Unbelievable. Got swept in their American League Division Series against the Rangers, losing last night in Arlington 7-1. Also, the Twins need to win tonight against the Astros or their season will be over. First pitch for that game scheduled for 6:07 p.m. Though in the news today, here are some headlines. The Wisconsin Assembly is scheduled to take up transgender youth bills with a vote scheduled for tomorrow. Also, Wisconsin student test scores are rising, but they still have not returned to pre-pandemic levels. The UW system is rebranding itself as the Universities of Wisconsin. And a new bill sponsored by Senator Tammy Baldwin aims for better guidance on solar developments on farmland. Okay, so we'll try to get to all of that stuff. But the first item I want to get to on this Wednesday morning is about student test scores. You know, we test the kids, fourth grade and eighth grade, to see how they're doing. Well, there is good news, and there's a little bit of bad news, but it says here in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that student test scores rise in Wisconsin, but haven't recovered from the pandemic. It says here that Wisconsin students tested better this spring than they did last year, but their scores were still below pre-pandemic performance, according to results that were released on Tuesday, yesterday. The message from state education officials was an echo from last year. Quote, "We are moving in the right direction, and at the same time, we have not yet reached our desired destination." That's according to Abigail Swetz, who is the communications director for the Department of Public Instruction. Here's what to know about the scores. Okay, Wisconsin test scores haven't recovered from the pandemic, and the gaps have worsened. It says on math and language arts, forward tests for grades 3 through 8, less than 42% of Wisconsin students were deemed proficient in 2023. That's a couple percentage points higher than last year, but still a couple percentage points below the 2019 results. And while scores for nearly all demographic groups of students have slipped since the pandemic, the slides have been greater for students of color and students from lower income families. It's a trend that's already been clear from other data sources. In the first national assessment of students since the pandemic, Wisconsin posted the widest score gaps between Black and white students of any state in 2022 by even greater margins than before. Research has shown that Black families were more likely than white families to experience pandemic-related job loss, hunger, and financial insecurity. Additionally, lower-income families were more likely to lose income. Those factors affected students, many of whom took on jobs themselves, helped care for siblings, and reported worsening mental health challenges since the start of the pandemic. There was a brighter spot in the results of another test, the language arts portion of the ACT test. About 38% of Wisconsin students were considered proficient, which is up from 37% in 2019. Math didn't go as well, with about 27% of students scoring as proficient, down from 29% in 2019. And if you want to see the full results of all of this testing, you can do that yourself. Here's a website. It is wisedash.dpi.wi.gov. And I wonder if that is WIS-E-dash. I don't know, but it looks like wise-dash.dpi.wi.gov. All right, and then what about private schools? How did they do? It says here in the story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that private schools do not have to administer state standardized tests to all students, but they are required to test students who are enrolled in choice programs, which provide students from lower income families with tax funded vouchers to attend private schools. It's complicated to compare their scores to public schools as they serve different populations. As choice program advocates will point out, the students in the program are all from lower income families. As public school advocates will point out, students in the program are less likely to have disabilities, as private schools don't have to provide the same services. Statewide, scores were lower for choice program students than for public school students. Did you get that? Statewide, scores were lower for the choice program students than for the public school students, even though the choice program students do not include students with disabilities. On these forward exams, about 22% of choice program students scored as proficient in language arts, 22%, and only 18% in math, about the same as the percentage who were proficient in 2019. That's about half of the percentage of proficient students in public schools. So what is the argument for the choice schools if the public schools are doing twice as good on the proficiency tests? School Choice Wisconsin, which advocates for expansion of the choice program, did a different comparison, measuring choice program students as compared to public school students who are considered economically disadvantaged, and found that the choice program students scored higher. However, the income thresholds for choice programs are higher than the income threshold to be considered economically disadvantaged. So again, that comparison is a little, it's not apples to apples exactly. School Choice Wisconsin also found the scores for the Milwaukee and Racine choice programs were higher than scores in those public school districts. On forward exams, about 20% of Milwaukee students in the choice program were proficient in language arts and 16% in math. Okay, 20% in language, 16% in math. In MPS, though, about 16% of students were proficient in language arts and only 12% in math. In Racine, about 26% of students in the choice program were proficient in language arts, 21% in math. Then on the public school side, the numbers were 18% and 15% in language and math. All right, so I think the bottom line is we still have a lot of work to do. There are a little bit of bright spots, but I think we still have a lot of work to do getting our students back to the pre-pandemic levels and even above those levels, right? We shouldn't be happy with those pre-pandemic levels. We should want to get them to even higher numbers. 17 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock, going to take our first break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh, and when the sun is out, I've got something I can laugh about. I feel good in a special way. I'm in love and it's a sunny day. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. We take a walk, the sun is shining down, burns my feet as they touch the ground. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Then we lie beneath a shady tree. Loving me, she feels good. She knows she's looking fine. I'm so proud to know.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The Allies have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast today with daytime highs approaching 55. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 39 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 53 tomorrow. Overcast skies. Upper 40s Friday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Warmer Saturday with highs in the upper 40s. Chance for showers continues. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 38.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Yes, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 24 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, it's music from the Police, Spirits in the Material World, Your So-Called Leaders Speak. Man, some interesting lyrics from a song that's now, what, 40 years old or so? Hey, we've got 24 minutes after 8 o'clock and 37 degrees in La Crosse, 31 degrees in Richland Center right now. Hey, did you get to see or hear any of that speech last night by President Biden? It was a pretty powerful speech. Biden pledging his support, the support of the United States, for Israel. And this is a pretty powerful statement by the president. I have a story here from the Associated Press, AP.com. Biden confirms Americans are among the hostages captured in Israel and condemns the sheer evil of the Hamas militants. This piece posted last night, and I guess the speech was actually late afternoon yesterday. President Joe Biden on Tuesday confirmed that U.S. citizens are among the hostages captured by Hamas as he condemned the militant group for the sheer evil of its shocking weekend assault on Israel. Quote, "Our hearts may be broken, but our resolve is clear," said Biden, who compared the brutality of the Hamas militants to that of the Islamic State terrorist group. He added, "Let there be no doubt, the United States has Israel's back. We'll make sure the Jewish and democratic state of Israel can defend itself today, tomorrow, as we always have." The president coupled his unflinching defense for Israel with only a glancing reference to the suffering that innocent Palestinians are enduring from Israel's barrage of retaliatory fire on the Gaza Strip, where the Hamas attack was launched. That hardline approach could prove more difficult to sustain going forward if, as expected, the humanitarian crisis for the Palestinians worsens as Israel expands its military operation to root out Hamas. Biden took note of the impact on Americans as well. He said the number of U.S. citizens confirmed to have been killed in the fighting has reached 14, up from 11 reported previously. United States officials said that death toll could increase further as some 20 Americans remain unaccounted for. "There's no justification for terrorism. There's no excuse," Biden said. "Hamas does not stand for the Palestinian people's right to dignity and self-determination. Their stated purpose is the annihilation of the state of Israel and the murder of Jewish people. They use Palestinian civilians as human shields." Gonna stop right there for now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local civic media radio station.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Another night of airstrikes over Gaza had another day of assessing how deadly the surprise Hamas attack was. ABC's Tom Rivers at the Foreign Desk says the death toll in the war continues to mount.
Israeli Defense Force spokesman Jonathan Conricus with the latest on his side.
1,200 dead Israelis, the overwhelming majority of them civilians, and more than 2,700 wounded. And sadly, something tells me that these numbers are not the final numbers.
On the other side, the Israelis continue to heavily target Gaza from the air, raising the number of dead there. Tom Rivers, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
At least 14 American citizens were killed in last weekend's incursion, and at least 20 may be among those being held hostage by Hamas militants. They're thought to be still in Gaza, where Israeli airstrikes have smashed entire city blocks to rubble. Now the Gaza Strip's sole power plant has run out of fuel. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local civic media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced he will file a motion to intervene in the redistricting case headed for the state Supreme Court. In a tweet, Governor Evers stated, quote, "Wisconsinites deserve fair maps, not the gerrymandered maps we have now that I already vetoed 2 years ago, and I will not stop fighting until we have a fair, independent, and nonpartisan redistricting process that ensures the people get to choose their elected officials in this state." Wisconsin drivers will be unhappy to hear that the car insurance rates in the state saw one of the biggest rate increases of any state in the country last year. According to a Market Watch Guides report, the national average premium rose 16% from 2022 to 2023, but Wisconsin saw an average jump of 38.9%. An increase in severe weather incidents, increased risk of animal collisions, and an increase in healthcare costs were cited as driving factors in the increase over double the national average increase. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Upstairs room.
another song from 50 years ago, singing about the military madness of that day, the early 70s, Vietnam. And now we're at a point of more military madness. Sometimes it's hard to believe that in the year 2023, we're still dealing with acts of barbarism and just incredible violence. It's 8:35 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 38 degrees in Eau Claire, also 38 degrees in Amory. That song, by the way, Military Madness by Graham Nash from his solo album, Songs for Beginners. And, you know, there is some incredible military madness going on right now, right here in the United States, in the United States Senate. I'm sure you know about Tommy Tuberville, right? Senator from Alabama, who's holding up everything as far as promotions and appointments in the United States military. He won't let things move forward because he's so concerned about this issue with abortion. Because, as you may know, after Roe v. Wade was overturned, and now women who are in the military do not have access to reproductive health care in their state, or I should say some female members of the military don't have access to reproductive care in their state where they're at anymore. So they have to go to other states for the reproductive care that they need, and the military reimburses them for that cost of having to leave their state, go to another state, get the care they need. So that's Tuberville's issue. He doesn't like the fact that the military reimburses these women for going to other states to have to get their reproductive care. If that's the case, then maybe they should just be allowed to get the care in their own states, but that's a separate issue. But evidently, some senators are fed up with Senator Tuberville and his blockade of the United States military. I have a story here from Politico that says the Senate is a problem in the Israel crisis. Democrats are fed up. The war in the Middle East means top military and diplomatic posts must be filled now, senators say. And this piece was just posted this morning at Politico by Joe Gould and Connor O'Brien. It says, as war breaks out in the Middle East, key ambassadorships in the region and top military promotions are languishing in the Senate. And some lawmakers say they've had enough. Senate Democrats are making a renewed push to force through hundreds of military nominations and a handful of ambassadorships, noting that the war in Israel has added new urgency to break through the logjam. Quote, I think this all argues for a pretty significant reform of the nominations process. Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat from Connecticut, said in an interview, the military blockade put in place by Senator Tommy Tuberville, Republican from Alabama, in protest of the Pentagon's abortion travel policy includes two picks for the Joint Chiefs and officers leading U.S. forces in the Middle East. At the same time, three of President Joe Biden's picks to be ambassadors to Middle Eastern countries and his pick for the State Department's top counterterrorism job await votes in the Senate as the confirmation process sputters. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, is on record holding up the counterterrorism official, and other unnamed senators are holding up other diplomatic nominees. Murphy, a Democrat who chairs the Foreign Relations Subcommittee with oversight of Mideast policy, said the fallout from the brutal attacks over the weekend underscores the need to change the chamber's rules to make it easier to confirm large numbers of promotions. Right now, a single senator can stall the process and force time-consuming votes. Quote, I've spoken to Republicans about this in the context of the Tuberville holds, Murphy said, My hope is that if none of these holds relents in the face of this crisis in the Middle East, some Republicans will be willing to take a look at some process changes. End quote. It's a long shot that Republican senators will defect, but Murphy said he has talked to some Republicans about altering Senate procedures, although he did not specify who he talked to. Other Democrats are continuing to press Republican members, banking they're just as frustrated with Tuberville to intervene and hoping that they see that the war in Israel has heightened the urgency. Pentagon officials who briefed senators on Tuesday on the Israel crisis emphasized 9 senior military positions in the command responsible for the Middle East that are facing disruptions due to Tuberville's holds, according to a person familiar with the unclassified call who was granted anonymity to discuss the private meeting. Officials also pushed for the nominees for ambassador to Israel, ambassador to Egypt, and also ambassador to Lebanon to be confirmed. Tuberville said on Sunday he isn't backing off his hold despite America's closest ally in the Middle East going to war, insisting Democrats confirm each nomination individually until the Pentagon drops its policy of reimbursing troops their travel costs to obtain abortions. 3 top picks, including Joint Chiefs Chair General C.Q. Brown, have been confirmed individually, but Democrats have largely dismissed the possibility of voting on all pending promotions as impractical because it would be so time-consuming. Most Republicans oppose the abortion policy, but some prominent Republican senators, including Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, disagree with Tuberville's tactics. Senator Murphy acknowledged there is limited Republican interest in changing the rules of the Senate, but he and other Democrats are nonetheless hopeful that more Republicans would see when the Senate reverses the damage that the holds are doing to the United States and allies and intervene to end the blockade. Senator Murphy said, I don't have any better tools than to argue the merits. We cannot help out Israel unless we have our team in the Middle East. It's just critical for us to have our top people in the region in order to be relevant in any political discussions that occur. Another senator, Chris Coons, a Democrat from Delaware, a Biden ally, said for the United States to be without an ambassador to Israel right now is a terrible mistake. Partisan antics have gotten in the way of key nominations and military promotions for too long, Senator Coons said in a statement, and I am hopeful we can move forward quickly on confirming these nominees when the Senate returns to session, end quote. Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat from Virginia, who you may remember, ran for vice president a few years ago. He is a member of the Armed Services Committee. He said he was starting to hear from my Republican Senate colleagues about their dissatisfaction when the chamber was in session last week and predicted progress on approving nominees when senators return next week. Quote, they're getting tired of Senator Tuberville's shutdown of American military promotions, Kaine said Monday on MSNBC. When we get back, I think you're going to see this ice jam break, and we're going to start to confirm our military, end quote. Senator Tammy Duckworth from Illinois, Democrat, said the crisis makes confirming the typically uncontroversial promotions, quote, as important as ever. One of our closest allies is facing war, yet one man is blocking the officers our military needs to help them, Duckworth posted on social media. Senator Tuberville, end your hold, is what she wrote. The Biden administration and the Senate are facing top vacancies,
on multiple fronts. In addition to military promotions, top diplomatic posts in three Middle Eastern countries, and the State Department's top counterterrorism official have languished on the Senate floor despite winning the approval of the Foreign Relations Committee. My hope is this demonstrates in a very stark and real way this is no time for political games, Senator Kaine said on MSNBC. The United States needs to have its team on the field. We need to confirm ambassadors, confirm military nominations, and then do what we can as a nation to help our ally Israel defend itself. The more than 300 promotions on hold include Admiral Lisa Franchetti and General David Alvin, Biden's picks to lead the Navy and the Air Force, respectively. 8:46 right now, going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I'd got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25. Cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast today with daytime highs approaching 55. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 39 tonight. Partly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 53 tomorrow. Overcast skies. Upper 40s Friday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Warmer Saturday with highs in the upper 40s. Chance for showers continues. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 39.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
The name game.
Shirley, 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 Bo Burley, Bonana, Banana, Bo Burley, Be Fine, Mo Merrily, Shirley. Lincoln, 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 Bo Bingan, Bonana, Banana, Bo Bingan, Be Fine, Mo Mingan, Lincoln. Come on, everybody. I say, now let's play a game. I bet you I could make a rhyme out of anybody's name. The first letter of the name I treat it like it wasn't there, but a B or an F or an M will appear. And then I say Bo at a B, then I say the name, then Banana, Banana, and a Co. And then I say the name again with an F, third name, then a B, Fi, and a Mo. And then I say the name again with an M this time, and there isn't any name that I can't rhyme. Arnold, 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 Bobano, Bonana, Banana, Bobano, Defy, Momano, Arnold. But if the first two letters are ever the same, I drop them both, then say the name like Bob. Bob drop the B's, Bo, Bob, or Fred. Fred drop the F's, Bo, Red, or Mary. Mary drop the M's, Mo, Mary. That's the only rule that is contrary. Okay? Now say Bo.
Bo.
Now Tony with a B.
Tony.
Then Banana Founding Fo.
Banana Founding Fo.
Then you say the name again with an F very plain.
Bony.
Then a B, Fi, and a Mo.
B, Fi, and Mo.
Then you say the name again with an M this time.
Bony.
And there isn't any name that you can't rhyme. Everybody do Tony.
Tony, Tony, Bo, Bony, Banana, Banana, Bo, Bony, B, Fi, Mo, Moni.
Tony. Pretty good. Let's do Billy.
Masha. Yes, it's the name game. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8:52 right now. The name game by Shirley Ellis. Man, there's a classic for you. It's 39 degrees right now in La Crosse, also 39 in Hayward. And speaking of the name game, have you heard that the University of Wisconsin system is changing their name? This is big news. I got a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and this was posted today. It says the University of Wisconsin system rebrands as the Universities of Wisconsin. It may take some getting used to, but the state's public university system will now be the Universities of Wisconsin, throwing out half a century of operating as the University of Wisconsin system. President Jay Rothman rolled out the rebranding on Tuesday. The Universities of Wisconsin is the best way to describe our 13 excellent universities, Rothman said in an announcement about the change. Quote, this new name rightfully shifts the focus from the system to the universities that are providing opportunities to the students and families we serve. Rothman said that while he and others will begin referring to the Universities of Wisconsin immediately, the University of Wisconsin system will remain the official legal name of the state's public universities. So the cost of the overall rebrand, it's going to be about $480,000. UW spokesperson Mark Pitch said, UW employees collaborated with BVK, a Milwaukee advertising agency, and Baker Tilly, a public accounting and consulting firm headquartered in Chicago, on the new logo and other work. The project included research, assessment, brand presentations, strategic counsel, and other work, Pitch said. The rebrand comes after a bruising budget season, with hundreds of university employees facing furloughs or layoffs this school year. And as the public increasingly questions the value of a university degree, quote, I was hired in part because
of my private sector experience, Rothman said in a statement to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Any private business would want information about how their brand is viewed by the public. This rebranding effort, which is addressed in our strategic plan, is the result of that work and only the first step in changing how the universities of Wisconsin engage with the public, including the business community. Rothman's strategic plan, approved late last year, calls for leveraging the UW brand through an umbrella marketing campaign to drive enrollment. Jonathan Kopolsky, a senior lecturer at Northwestern University who has expertise in marketing and branding strategy, said the rebrand may help some of the state's smaller universities by affiliating with UW-Madison's stronger brand. And here's a quote. He said, obviously, UW is a pretty powerful brand, and I would think for the individual campuses, calling them UW would increase the potential attractiveness to applicants. My gut says it will not have any significant downside for Madison because people already regard it as the crown jewel. But if it lifts Milwaukee or Whitewater or the other campuses, that could help in the eyes of donors, research sponsors, as well as students. The rebrand ditches the maroon logo for one with teal accents and an outline of the state borders. Employees will transition websites, letterhead, and other materials with the new name and logo in the coming months. And it says here, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will continue to refer to the state's public university system by its legal name. So evidently, the newspaper isn't changing what they call the university. Hey, it's 8:57 and a half right now. Stick around. We're going to do top of the hour news break. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
The most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News app.